So imagine coming into the world in 1885, like not in a sterile hospital room, but right out in the middle of the Rocky Mountains.
It's right out in the wilderness, yeah.
Exactly, because your father is out there physically building the railroad. Welcome to this deep dive, by the way. Today, we are looking specifically at the pioneer journey of Leonidas LaRue.
And we are pulling this directly from the 1987 family centennial book, Onward to the Unknown.
Right, because our mission here is really to unpack how early homesteaders actually made it work. You know, what did it physically look like to survive?
Well, being born in a railroad camp definitely sets the baseline. I mean, you were born into rugged frontier survival from literally day one.
Yeah, nothing comes easy. Yeah. And in 1905, Leonidas stakes a claim in Jackfish and marries his first wife, Letitia. But prairie life was, I mean, it was brutally unforgiving.
Well, incredibly unforgiving.
They actually lose their first daughter to black diphtheria. And then just days after midwives help deliver their twin girls, Letitia passes away.
Which is just, it's devastating. Suddenly, he is a widower on this isolated homestead with two newborn babies.
Right. And think about safety nets today. You know, we think of government programs or life insurance policies.
Yeah, you usually have some kind of fallback plan.
Exactly. But back then, the safety net was purely biological. It was geographic. It was an operational merger, basically. The extended family immediately stepped in.
Like the grandparents, Muzi and Sophie.
Yes. And Leonidas' sister, Josephine. They stepped up. And it wasn't just, you know, dropping off a casserole.
Right. They didn't just come over to babysit for the afternoon.
No, households literally absorbed each other. They had to share caloric output and divide all that physical labor just to keep infants alive without modern medicine.
Well, it was the only way the math of survival worked. I mean, you had to operate as a single unit or you simply failed.
So the question then becomes, after losing almost everything, how does a pioneer actually start over?
Very slowly. For Leonidas, it takes a whole decade. In 1915, he rebuilds his life and marries Josephine Dion.
And they end up having 12 children together.
12 children, yeah. Right. And they rebuild inside this log shack. It is plastered with mud, covered in whitewash to seal the wood. And they've got these meticulously scrubbed wooden floors.
But no electricity?
Oh, no electricity, no telephones, nothing like that.
Wow. So think of their $66 Singer sewing machine. That wasn't just some hobby tool for them.
No, it was basically their household's entire industrial manufacturing plant.
Yeah, Josephine centered her whole production around it. She would take these 100-pound flour bags and actually boil them in soapy water on a wood stove.
Which the boiling was totally necessary.
Oh.
That intense heat combined with the strong soap would break down the commercial ink on the bag.
You get the logos off.
Exactly. Once stripped of that dye, those heavy cotton sacks became the raw material for their underwear and bed sheets.
She also dyed 10-pound sugar bags to make these colorful bedspreads, and she hand-carded raw sheep wool to knit all their winter gear.
It is just incredible resourcefulness.
But wait, I have to push back a little on the romanticized view of this era. I mean, how does a mother of 12 even find the sheer physical time to process raw wool?
That is a really great question.
Especially on top of making mattresses out of gunny sacks that they stuffed with fresh post-harvest straw. Where does the time come from?
Well, we are applying a very modern lens to this, you know, the idea of free time versus work hours. Back then, that distinction just didn't exist.
There was no 9-to-5 shift.
Right. There was no boundary between living and surviving. Every waking action was a mechanism of survival. I mean, you processed the wool or your children got frostbite.
Wow, yeah. You stuffed the sacks with straw or you slept on frozen dirt.
Exactly. It was just a relentless reality.
And that same stubborn pragmatism Josephine used indoors, Leonidas had to apply outdoors too, even just dealing with the livestock.
Oh, you mean the mules?
Yes. He had these stubborn mules that absolutely refused to cross a wooden bridge.
Right. They just wouldn't budge.
Right. So rather than fight them all day, he just threw something over their heads to blindfold them and totally trick them into walking across.
Because you just do whatever works in the moment. You do not have time to argue with a mule.
No, you definitely don't. And you see that same reality in the physical cost of basic goods.
Oh, the soap story.
Yeah. He cuts a massive load of wooden poles, hauls them 9 miles by wagon, all just to earn a single dollar.
A single dollar. And that dollar went straight to buying P&G soap to wash those flour sacks we mentioned earlier.
9 miles of hauling timber for a single bar of soap.
It is wild. But, you know, in an environment where the physical toll is that steep, you have to wonder how they prevented total psychological collapse.
Especially during global conflicts later on, like when their son Julian served in World War II.
Exactly. Which is why things like Leonidas playing the fiddle or taking the time to dress up as Santa Claus for the kids, those weren't just cute family quirks.
Wait, so they were actually vital to their survival?
Yes, they were a psychological rationing tool against burnout. Joy isn't a luxury in that setting. It is a survival strategy.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Creating those moments of levity was quite literally a mechanism to keep the family's spirits intact when the external world was just trying to break them down.
That really reframes their entire journey. Leonidas and Josephine weren't just surviving the prairie elements. They were actively, deliberately engineering a loving legacy.
A legacy that would endure for generations. It is built on ingenuity, where family devotion was basically their fundamental currency.
So next time you lie down on your modern mattress, imagine the smell of fresh straw in a gunny sack.
Such a different world.
It really is. And ask yourself, what ordinary objects in your home today will become the legendary stories of your family's future?